Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. I'm having to intro slower now because we have this lag on our camera. We know it. We got enough emails. We're really trying to fix something. We may have to end up putting some sort of, it's like a T-line or something in our home for internet speed. But so I apologize. But don't worry, you're not going to be looking at my face this whole podcast. Anyway, it will be the man that I couldn't wait to talk to, actually, to gain some confidence in, because I have very little. And that is Dr. Mike Van Thielen. And his specialty, I could just say stem cell, but it ranges much further than that. It goes into nutrition, holistic. He's also a motivational speaker, a wellness coach, a tag. A lot of hashtags that go with that. And as you know, we're a stream of consciousness podcast. I dig in to try to meet the person, find the story, but also try to not only reveal the cognitive rampage of them, but learn something. And I always do learn something. And being a novice in stem cell, or even further of what Dr. Thielen does and his people at, I believe it's the Neo Matrix Medical. Am I right there, Doc?
That's correct.
All right, man. See, memory's still good. I appreciate you coming on, man. And I know it's busy in the middle of your day, and spending some time chatting about what you do, how you got into what you do. You know what? Let's start there, man. Like, walk me back, man. How did you even get here, man? What's the stories you've been through? Kind of walk me in.
Sure. Well, you probably hear my accent. I'm originally from Belgium. Over there, I went to the University of Brussels. I first did physical education, which obviously is fun, doing all kinds of sports. But with that degree, there's not much you can do. So I decided to physical therapy afterwards. And then 94, 95, 96, I traveled with the Belgian Olympic swim team around the world in preparation for the Olympic Games in Atlanta in 96. And that's how I came to the United States. In 97, they were short of physical therapists in this country. So I got recruited. Actually, a recruiter called me up and he says, "Hey, Mike, do you want to come, work in the United States?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Where do you want to be?" I said, "Fort Lauderdale." And that's because we did our training camps there and I knew all the bars, right? So he said, "Well, we don't have a spot in Fort Lauderdale, but we have something in Ormond Beach." So I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Ormond Beach." I said, "I have no clue where that is, but the beach sounds fine." So that's how I ended up here in 97, worked in the hospital for about 3 months. Don't like the hospital, don't like any hospital setting, the whole bureaucracy and stuff like that. So I got myself out of there fast. Went into private practice, physical therapy. Then I went back to school, to the Florida College of Integrative Medicine. I got my Doctor of Oriental Medicine, got my license in acupuncture. I got board certified in Chinese herbal medicine, homeopathy, etc. Then when I graduated there, I did that for a while, but obviously insurance doesn't cover those kind of services, so it's very hard to make a living doing those types of things. So then I got my PhD in holistic nutrition. I wrote a great book called Health for Life. And since then, I've been not only promoting the book, but I have been doing a lot of motivational speaking, trying to show people how to regain control of their health. And then the last year, I'm the CEO and president of a new innovative company where we provide stem cell therapy to our patients. So that's in short a little history from where I'm coming.
Well, in short, man, that's a book in itself, I'm sure, man. I almost don't even know where to start, from the swim team, from the transition, from the difference in Belgium science and medical to here. I would love to dive into all that. But well, then you had to finish with the stem cell thing, man. And you took me down that path. So someone not knowing about stem cell, if there were listening, I mean, walk me in through the basics of what that means.
Yeah, we all heard about stem cells, but most people really don't know what it is, right? So a stem cell is different than any other cell in the body. It has basically two properties that no other cell has. Number one, it can self-replicate. So it can make identical copies of itself upon division. And number two, it can become any other specialized cell it wants to become. The best way to explain that is how you always use the analogy of a joker in the deck of cards. If we have a joker, we can decide what that joker needs to become. So a stem cell is a stem cell that can become a muscle cell, a blood cell, a brain cell, cartilage, ligament, tendon, whatever it needs to become. So that's the uniqueness of a stem cell. So what we do with those stem cells, if we can regenerate tissue. So if you have a rotator cuff tear or severe osteoarthritis of your knee or a muscle sprain or whatever it is, instead of getting surgery or steroid injections, we can inject these stem cells and they will rebuild and regenerate that entire tissue without having to go to surgery.
Oh, we're almost superheroes, aren't we?
Almost, yes.
Yeah, we're almost. I mean, you know, I have heard a lot about a lot of athletes, you know, as they're getting later, knee injuries, et cetera, trying to avoid the knife, right? That's what I always heard coming up as an athlete. You avoid the scalpel if you can. And it seems like stem cell, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about it. I mean, what are the real averages of, say, you know, instead of scoping a knee, going in and doing stem cell instead?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, there is not enough awareness yet because you just mentioned athletes. You know, if you're a professional player and you have to have a surgery, you're out for the season. I mean, how much money does the team cost? So with this, we have a downtime of about 5 days. That's all. So what? if you have the stem cell injection done on Thursday, you can play your game again on Monday. So that's great. Yeah, that's crazy good. If they only would know, right? But they're not aware of this yet. But I have to say, Adam, there's a lot of confusion because there's different sources of stem cells. So most people today, or most providers today, they use what they call adult stem cells. And these stem cells are harvested from the patient himself, so either from the fat tissue or the bone marrow. And that involves surgery because now you have to harvest them. So that's much more expensive, more risk, more downtime, and very inconsistent results. But while we have at Neometrics Medical, we are a few steps ahead of everybody else. We actually utilize a FDA registered and cleared placental tissue matrix. So we use the placenta from healthy US mothers that delivered a C-section healthy baby. And that placenta contains all the essential components that we need for effective tissue regeneration. So we just do a simple injection versus harvesting these stem cells through surgery.
Wow, that is a huge difference though, because then again, if I'm doing stem cell the other way, I still don't avoid the knife. I still have downtime. I still have risk to infection. I mean, anytime you're cut open, you have risk of infection and these become risky. And, you know, I can almost hear the moral argument of people already beginning to echo. And for me, even when it comes across, there is nothing moral, anything here. It seems like life feeding life. You know, it seems such a beautiful thing to me.
But it's there is no moral issues here because people are confused. This is not embryonic. So in research, sometimes they use stem cells from the embryo or the fetus, and that's where the moral and ethical issues come into play. However, placenta is after birth. So normally the placenta goes straight into the garbage and we basically catch it and we're going to utilize it as our product for stem cells because each placenta contains about 100 million stem cells.
And see, that's an alley-oop. See, I laid up the moral argument for you.
That's right.
Bring in that alley-oop and dunk it on behind me, man. I appreciate you trying to separate that difference because what you speak of is true. Some people are so robotic in response, especially even to science, that the minute they hear stem cell, they turn off immediately. They go right to this idea and they don't really see where it's branching out. I mean, the fact that you could save surgeries, you could cut down on downtime, insurance, work time. I mean, this should be all over the place, right? I mean, it should be out there like that.
You make two good points. Number one, even our politicians, I mean, I remember Marco Rubio in the Republican, you know, discussions dismissing stem cells immediately because even him is not informed. He automatically assumes it's coming from the fetus and therefore they shut down the stem cell therapies, which could save hundreds of lives. So yes, they need to be educated on the different sources of stem cells for sure. So
yeah, it becomes talking points almost. We take this hard curb party line and we run against it. And, you know, it costs people money, time, lives. I mean, our loved ones suffer. It's pain. I mean, I'm not even going to go into what dealing with chronic pain leads to with pill addiction. I mean, that's my field. So I know people battle chronic pain their whole lives and wind up addicted to Oxycontins and other painkillers. So, I mean, the fact that this stops, God knows how much of that.
Yeah. Now we're at the big pharma, obviously, and I'm glad you bring that up too, because they try to keep this on the low for sure. And the reason, I mean, even in other countries, in the United States right now, Adam, we're only allowed to use these stem cells for musculoskeletal injuries, you know, like mentioned before, chronic pain, you know, some shoulder, elbow issues, you name it. But in other countries, they are treating, and not only treating, but actually fixing and curing Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, heart disease, and you name it. You know, and many of those clinics abroad are actually Americans. I actually know a clinic in Peru, Lima. There are American doctors that had to move there because they're not allowed to do it here. I know a Parkinson's patient who went there, end-stage Parkinson, came back 3 weeks later. You couldn't even see he ever had Parkinson's. Type 1 diabetes, all those chronic diseases, today they can be fixed with stem cells. Why is it not allowed here? Well, it's pretty simple. It would just implode $1 billion medical, you know, pharmaceutical market. So that's just what's happening, you know?
There it is, man. You know,
there it is.
Oh, my buddy Naudi battles that with the fitness industry. If, you know, if his functional patterns approach matches, industries implode. There's billions of dollars, billions of jobs. So, I mean, if we just walk in there and say, hey, by the way, all those knee surgeries you did this year, all those shoulder surgeries, all those pills you gave out, all the prescriptions that you sold, all that workman's comp you paid out, all of that sick time, leave time, hours you missed on your feet with your kids, you know, we can't let that go away just yet because it actually helps people too fast.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's happening today. People don't realize it. In other countries, if you have a heart attack, I mean, I'm talking North Korea, Israel, Germany, you know, if you have a heart attack, they take a piece of the healthy tissue of the heart, they put it in a Petri dish, they add your stem cells to it, some DNA to it, they put it back in your bloodstream, it goes to the heart, rebuilds a whole new heart. It's happening. It's just not allowed here.
Holy
it's
shit.
It's happening. Yeah.
Whoa. I mean, look, you hear about these things, you read the little articles and you're like, ah, okay, yeah, they're curing AIDS over somewhere with a modified HIV virus, right? You see it on Vice and people blow these things off. But I mean, the idea that we're regenerating hearts, I mean, how far, if we can go as far as regenerating hearts, I mean, can we grow hands? Can we walk again?
Well, you know, a friend of mine is kind of very educated on this, but if you go back to a 2011 cover of the New York Times, you'll see that they were talking about transhumanism, which means that as estimated by the year 2045, we will become immortal because the exponential growth and the marriage of technology and medicine, you know, because we have Parkinson's patients with, you know, brain implants. We have cochlear implants for the kids that can't hear. So we are becoming bionic people, you know, and with the rate that everything, the technology is growing exponentially, it is projected by 2045. And I think me and you can make it till then. we can become immortal because, like you said, we can replace hearts, livers. We can replace all the tissues and rebuild those tissues so we can add a few hundred years to our life. So don't get hit by a truck tomorrow.
There's a documentary out actually called The Immortalist where Aubrey de Grey speaks on that. It's one of my favorite documentaries to watch just because it opens your mind like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And Aubrey de Grey speaks about that, about the immortalist, about reaching that plateau and or that place, maybe not a plateau, but you know, it scares people to think that idea could even reach there, that you know what I mean? Something so immortal, right? It plays into religious ideas of playing God, right? It's what keeps everybody, you know, so scared. But the idea of bringing life, of maintaining the life, it does seem almost like we're headed in that direction, that evolutionary, you know, way.
Yeah, and stem cell is just the first step towards that. It's just rebuilding damaged areas and damaged tissues. Yeah.
Now, I is there some struggle then? Because even in the mortalist, what they talk about is being able to keep the brain functioning, keep the brain operating at a certain level, and we may be able to maintain the body, regrow tissues, you know, do all kinds of things like that. But to even hearts, right? We can even change hearts now with entry in the bloodstream. That's crazy. And the idea of being able to maintain the thoughts. And I've heard people talk about being able to do so by uploading memories, uploading our ideas or our life and stories. That's another level. But from a stem cell, you know, approach, have we reached any areas to where it's affecting the brain or where we found ways to extend that?
Well, yeah, like in Peru, like I mentioned, they're doing Alzheimer's patients, right? So again, a stem cell can become any type of cell. So if you inject those in the brain, then they become brain cells and they replace damaged cells and renew them. So a 50-year-old brain becomes a 35-year-old brain and a 90-year-old brain becomes a 50-year-old brain, et cetera. So that's happening right now.
We're going to have to download our memories so that cells develop and we become young. I wonder if that's a way that we can, you know how they always say, I wish I could go back and be 25, but only knowing what I know now.
Yeah, true. But you remember the Terminator movie where he takes out his eye and he's got all the, you know, the information in it. Actually, in Canada, it just came out a few months ago, they developed an eye which basically has the whole internet on it. So your brain thinks, actually Google something. You don't have to say it out loud. Your brain thinks it, and then the results come right there in your eye. So it's going to be very easy to take tests from now on.
Oh, my gosh, man. Yeah, right. I mean, come on, can we do away with the standardized testing already? Because once they've got it in their eye, it's over. I'm taking pictures,
the
questions, you know, I'm Google searching in my head. I mean, I watched this TED speaker talk about the idea of having to know is slowly dissipating. That, you know, trying to memorize and know just fills us up with a bunch of unneeded information, you know, like the Dunbar number of 150 people we reach. But, you know, the idea of knowing, and I don't know, because we've been trained to how much do you know? You know, what's your certificate? What do you say? What do you know? What do you write? Here's your test.
It's all memory. It's all memorizing. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, when, you know, you can look at a kid now and you can say something, they can be like, bullshit. And they'll just Google you real quick. You know
what I mean? That's right.
What you said. So that idea of having to know seems to be coming obsolete.
No, you're correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the stem cell is something I still want to keep knowing. I mean, if it's any tissue and can be anything, we're talking burn victims. You know, I mean, what about mental illness even? If we can actually begin to prove with brain scans adaptations in mental illness, which we can't prove yet, but maybe one day that we can change that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first step in the regenerative medicine arena, and it's working really well. I mean, for us locally here with musculoskeletal issues, we had an 81-year-old who had severe osteoarthritis of the knee. She was scheduled for the total knee replacement. Her daughter talked her out of it and tried the stem cells first and postponed the surgery. And 3 weeks later, she was walking her dog again and she was 80% better. And she never needed the surgery. And that's a severe case of severe osteoarthritis. It rebuilds cartilage. It rebuilds tendons, ligaments, muscles. And you know, the uniqueness that we have at Neometrics Medical is we use an MSK ultrasound, a musculoskeletal ultrasound. So before you come in, we do a complete diagnostic of your joint. We look at all the damaged areas. And then once we inject the placental tissue, we use those same imaging to accurately place that placenta in the damaged area. So we not just blindly inject the joint. But 3 to 4 months after the actual treatment, we go back with the ultrasound and we look at those damaged areas. And we have a before and after of the cartilage, of the tendon, of the ligaments. And we showed those pictures to Jewett Orthopedic in Winter Park, which is one of the most prominent orthopedic clinics in not only in Florida, but also in the United States. So we are actually initiating clinical studies with them now because they say it's amazing that a simple injection actually rebuilds a knee, rebuilds cartilage, fixes a torn meniscus, et cetera. And that's what we have been showing here on the musculoskeletal level. But I know abroad they're doing a lot more interesting stuff that we are not allowed to do here.
And in that set, we're supposed to be the innovative country. We're supposed to be the one that's coming up with the new innovations, allowing...
Well, many times we do come up with them. About a good decade ago, and this is just right here in Ormond Beach where I am today, I'm not going to name any names, but there was a study, an American study, of stem cells and type 1 diabetes. And halfway through the study, they stopped the study. Guess why? It was working.
No.
It was working. And the woman that I know that was part of the study since then, and it's been over a decade, if not 2 decades, had not any type 1 diabetes ever. No diabetes symptoms after half of the study and the stem cells.
Yeah. I mean, how many people are diagnosed with diabetes every day?
And and how many children have to inject themselves because they got type 1 diabetes?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I see two things on the rise too, only because my wife works in the ER, so I get to hear a lot. But, and I notice some things is I see tons of carpal tunnel in the hands because of the iPhones and holding them tight like that, the computers, et cetera. I'm one that kind of deals with that. And two, a lot of plantar fasciitis stuff, about feet issues and walking. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all approaches that can be addressed with stem cell, correct?
Easily, yeah. I mean, if there's degeneration or is that damage to the carpal bones in case of your carpal tunnel or inflammation, The placental tissue or the stem cell, they not only correct or rebuild and re-engineer the tissue, they also drastically reduce pain and inflammation. It's one of their properties. So when we have people come in, one to 3 weeks after the injection, they have a significant relief in pain and inflammation. But to get complete re-engineering of the tissue or the joint, it takes about 3-4 months to have full effect. But after a week or two, they already have a significant reduction in pain.
Well, I can, you know what, I didn't plan on this, but I will pay and come and try this, because this right hand right here, well, let's just say this knuckle's kind of missing. It's back here. I never really re-corrected this bone. We won't say why it broke and I punched poor. And over years of just use, I mean, literally as we sit here, I have a numbness in the tip of my finger all the way down to this point finger. It just, it's almost just stays this way. And I do a lot of sparring and heavy bag, et cetera. So it just stays almost numb this way. Mm-hmm. Man, if you can make that go away, oh my goodness. I would.
Yeah, we certainly try. We will do a diagnostic scan, see where the damage is, inject the placental tissue in the exact damaged areas and see what happens. But so far, we had very, very consistent results. So,
well, there's a lot of people I know. I mean, even Joe Rogan talks about his knee and how he had the stem cell done on his knee. He had a lot of issues with his stuff and it works. Mm-hmm. That's just one public figure talking about it. There's many, many athletes that are, you know, that rant about this, that rave about how it fixes them. It's less surgery. I mean, surgery, I tell you, it's always risky. And, you know, what's one of the, did you walk in with doubts? And if any doubts, what's one of the craziest things that you've seen it actually do where it just made you stop for a moment? Like, oh, what are we doing? This is amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, when we came upon the product, we were very excited to start using this. And we knew we had something special and we were a few steps ahead of the competition. But after we did our first patients and 3 to 4 months after we did the post-treatment ultrasounding, we actually had the objective results. We were like sitting there with our mouths open because every tear, every ligament, every meniscus that was torn was completely new. Even the doctor that was reading our report says, what are you guys doing? Because it's like totally new joint, totally new tendon. So our expectations were high, but we didn't realize it was gonna deliver these effective and consistent results with every single patient, for sure. I had my shoulder done. Not that I had severe problems, but I wanted to feel it myself too. I just had some inflammation because I swim a lot. But a friend of mine, which is actually our sonographer, Donald Bass, he torn last summer playing frisbee on the beach both of his meniscus. He wasn't able to walk properly. He couldn't bend his knee anymore. So we injected his both meniscus. And 2 weeks later, he didn't have any pain. We went hiking in Colombia, up the mountains, down the mountains. He didn't have any problems. And then 3 months later, after we took the post-ultrasound, it was like a totally 20-year-old meniscus. I mean, it's crazy. So we have been very blessed with our protocol, our product, and our procedure to be able to help a lot of people prevent surgery and increase functional capacity again and be able to do what they love to do, whatever that may be.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning of this, since it's only allowing you all to move at a snail's pace. I mean, we already talked about the implications of Parkinson's, mental health, addiction. I mean, it runs down the... Are you in a safe place? Make sure you're always telling people where you are, clear and check in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Stay public, man. Stay public, you know? Yeah. Yeah. See, that's not laughing. Like, you thought about it. No, I mean, it's life changing to people. I mean, I like I said, there are people that I know that use it. We've talked about some boundaries or some roadblocks that you face that you're looking at. Do other than the political ones and the money ones that we've discovered. We even talked about the religious ones. We even talked some of the implications in that. To maybe make somebody feel more comfortable, if you will, because look, I think it's half, one in three at least, are taking some sort of medication for chronic pain. So if coming in, walk me through what it's like. What do I expect? Because a lot of people, being a therapist, actually avoid therapy because they don't know what to expect. They just think it's what they've seen on TV or something. So they avoid it. So what's it like? What am I going to experience? What do I go through?
Well, in our case, it's pretty simple because, again, there's no surgery. So first thing we do is what we recommend everybody to do is we want them to be educated on the different sources of stem cells and and know what they're getting into. So on our website, we have a free report that people can request. It's 33 pages. It explains what we do, why we do it. It explains the different sources of stem cells. It talks about the fact that it's placental and not embryonic. And it talks about the pros and cons of adult stem cells versus our placenta. So, and it's in layman terms. So it's very easy to read, and it clears up the confusion for many people. So if anybody wants to download a report or request a report at our website, it's www.neomatrixmedical.com. That's the first step. We make them do it. Then they have questions. We answer their questions. So then the first step is when they say, okay, what do I do? How do I get fixed? We get them scheduled for a diagnostic ultrasound. So they just come in and we look at that joint. We look at all the different areas. It's 3D live imaging. So you can watch with us on the computer, and we identify those damaged areas. 48 hours later, we'll have a report coming back, which states exactly where the damage is. And then the patient usually sits down with me. I'm going to explain in layman terms what the report says. And based on the amount of damage, I know how much product that we need. And based on the amount of product, your price is going to range probably between $3,000 and $5,000, which is very low. Basically the average person can afford it now. It used to be anywhere between $6,000 and $20,000.
The ambulance ride is $5,000 anyway. Yeah. So you're coming out of the hospital at five. So, and then after you get addicted to pain pills and your wife and everyone leaves you and lose all your shit.
Sure, okay, sure.
Put a price on $3,000. You know, I mean, a lot of deductibles and insurance now are almost that anyway.
Exactly. Well, we're on the same page, obviously, but it's based on how much product we need, between $3,000 and $5,000. We do have payment plans available. People can pay it off over 12 months or whatever floats their boat. And then we can schedule the treatment as soon as 2 days after, because the product is usually shipped overnight. And the treatment is simply, we numb the area, localized anesthesia, so you don't feel much pain. And then once the area is numb, we just use that same ultrasound to guide the needle basically to that damaged area, inject it into that damaged area, and that's it. And if there's three or four damaged areas within the shoulder or knee, then get three or four injections, obviously. Then you go home. The only thing we tell you to do is take it easy for 4 or 5 days. That doesn't mean you have to lay in bed, but if you had your knee done, don't go doing jumping jacks, right? So, but take it easy a few days, and then you're good to go. And we get you back in 3 or 4 months, do another scan, and then we can objectively measure on how good it rebuilt that cartilage or ligament or tendon. But most people give us a call back already after a few days. They're feeling better. 1 or 2 weeks, their pain is gone or 80% gone, and they continue to improve. And so it's a pretty simple procedure. But we want them to be educated first, know what they're getting into.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what I'm trying to bring to the forefront. I mean, I've been through an issue with my hamstring back in my college injury, and there's people that go through terrible ones. So as you explain that, all I was thinking about was, well, when they prepped me for surgery and then they wanted to do it was like 8 days of just getting ready to cut me open, and then I'm down for 12 weeks and yeah. I can't work. I got to take a shit all funny. Like, it's just, and then you're like, all right, come in, get a shot or two, go home, hang out.
Yep, that's right. That's all it is. Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. It brought me also, I wrote something down, was, is there a way that we can keep our current cells that we have, stem cells, anything in our body healthy or healthier? And then after we're injected with the new stem cells, is there a way to encourage their growth or to be faster or heal quicker?
Yeah, great question. And let me give the best possible answer. In order to get great results, in order for our body to re-engineer or rebuild a tissue, we need 4 essential components. We need stem cells, a high quantity and quality of stem cells. We already know that. But we also need growth factors. Growth factors actually stimulate the stem cells. Growth factors is what wake up your stem cells and put them to work. They say, hey, go and fix this rotator cuff. So growth factors are necessary. It could be your supervisor at the construction site. They tell you, hey, this is what you need to do. Get up and go work. So those are growth factors. Then, even if the stem cells are very capable of repairing something, they need tools. If you have a rotator cuff there, you need the brick and mortar to fix it. Those are biomolecules, so specific proteins, collagen type 3, collagen type 4. So you need your brick and mortar. So those are biomolecules. And then last but not least, you need collagen scaffolds. Collagen scaffold is your engineering plan, your blueprint, right? So we need a blueprint, we need our tools, we need our supervisor, and we need the workforce, which is the stem cells. Now, there's only two human tissues that contain all four in high quantity and quality. It's umbilical cord tissue and placental tissue. The reason why we went with placental tissue is because in the US, there's no FDA registered or cleared umbilical cord product on the market. So it's not readily available, and the placenta is. So those are the two tissues. So if you're talking about most providers grabbing the stem cells from your hip bone or from your fat, first of all, we don't know what the quantity and quality of your stem cells are. We have no idea. Therefore, that procedure never will be uniform or standardized or FDA approved because we don't know what we're getting. And then we're putting those stem cells back in your own body. But we're not sure if we're going to get great results because are there growth factors present to activate those stem cells? Are there biomolecules available so those the workforce can actually fix the rotator cuff? Are there biomolecules available? And is there a blueprint or collagen scaffold? So therefore, with adult stem cells, you hear great success stories, but you don't hear about the people that don't get results and want their money back. Because with the stem cells, when they come from the adult through surgery, we really don't know what's going to happen because there's a lot of essential key elements missing. So if you're in great shape and if you're a healthy person, you're more likely to get great results with adult stem cells. But if you're in bad shape, if you're a little bit older, there may not be ample healthy stem cells available. There may not be enough growth factors, collagen scaffold, or biomolecules. So therefore, there's very inconsistent results. With our placenta, we always have results because we have all four essential components always available, no matter what the person's condition or health status is at that moment.
Yeah, so I was going to ask lead to that. So that's very enlightening. So the difference, there is a major difference. Say if mm-hmm. I went in and we pulled from my hip, which I've heard many times, or from my fat, et cetera, we use that procedure as opposed to going with what you know is fully juice. So a lot of people don't talk about that difference of the two.
Yeah, that's correct. Because if you look up stem cells, most of them use adult stem cells. And those doctors, obviously, you know, they will defend their procedure because they invested in that surgical procedure and they need to, you know, make the money on it. But quite honestly, a lot of them now harvest the stem cells and then they actually add PRP to it. Maybe you have heard of PRP. PRP stands for platelet-rich plasma. So they draw some blood of you, they spin it in a centrifuge, and then they get the platelets. Why? Because the platelets are loaded with growth factors. So now they have two of the four components, which is great, but you're still missing the other two. So that's what they're doing to try to compensate.
Go ahead.
Another very important thing to know is that as we age, the amount of stem cells drastically reduces. A newborn, and I don't know the exact numbers, I actually could look here, but a newborn... A newborn has 1 out of 10,000 cells is a stem cell. But as a teenager, it's only 1 out of 100,000. And when we're 50 years old, it's 1 out of 400,000. So there's a drastic decline in the number of stem cells in your body. So even if we harvest them from your fat and your bones, we probably don't get enough stem cells that we can get in order to do the job when we put them back in.
Well, there's a reason that the people that chose that approach have or are having to innovate and find ways, which has got them to the two out of the four. It's because the way that this works, the way that Neomatrix works, is you're pulling from, so like you have all four. So they're having to innovate based on what they chose.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. So, man, I really never understood the difference either. So at 50, that is a major drop off. I mean, are hormones at all and what we deal with in our balances there affect our availability of stem cells?
Well, you know, again, stem cells in our body at our age, they're dormant. In other words, the machinery to fix everything is available, but something or someone needs to flip on that switch, the on and off switch. So everything in our body, because of our poor health, our poor lifestyle habits, it's turned off. The machinery for us to fix ourselves constantly is there, but most of it is dormant. That's why those growth factors are important. But if you want to fix something at the age of 50 and we turn out those we turn on those stem cells that have not been doing anything for 50 years and there's only a few available, maybe not much will happen either. Our placenta contains 100,000 stem cells.
Wow. Yeah,
so we don't have to worry about it. And remember, they can self-replicate. So they either become a specialized cell, like a muscle or a ligament or a tendon, or they become another stem cell. So they can self-replicate too.
Now, can we get into bone at all yet?
Yes, we can. When we see on our ultrasound some degeneration of the bone or some deformation or some bone spurs or extra bone growth, we actually, with the needle already, are poking that bone, which, by the way, is a little bit painful because we can't numb that part up. But we have seen in our befores and afters that it really smoothens out the bone and does the same thing. It regenerates. It replaces every damaged tissue in the body and makes it new again. That's what stem cells do.
Oh, my gosh. You imagine we could just grow an extra arm, hang it in the closet just in case I get caught in that table saw or that farm thing I shouldn't be fucking with.
That's right.
Put on a new right arm.
That's right.
Goodness, physical therapy is going to take on a whole new meaning.
That's right.
It's not going to be about rehabbing what you got. It's about relearning the new arm you just put.
Replacing it, right?
Yeah, it's more motor skills than it will be anything else. Oh, right. Man, can you imagine? Wow. I mean, sometimes when I connect all these new brain synapses, I get brain blank, man, or I'm just still imagining, the armies we could create. I mean, no. it's fascinating to me that even with all of this change, with all of the answers out there that even, I mean, not all the answers, what I mean is with these answers out here, with what science has proven, we still move at such a snail's pace with such knowledge.
Well, it's not a snail's pace, but like I said, especially in this country, we're held back, on purpose, with those types of things that work. I mean, if you know that the study with the type 1 diabetes was 10, 20 years ago, we could have fixed everybody with type 1 diabetes at that point. Yet, insulin shots are, sold every single day by the millions. So.
Oh, yeah. Just off the cuff, you say, hey, 20 years ago, we could have saved everybody with diabetes 1. But, you're politics and lobbyists. There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, off the cuff, man. I mean, that's some serious shit. I mean, I don't even know how many Americans. I know it's high in definite diabetes diagnosis. That's increasing. I mean, we know that, or there's some hypothesis, right, that nutrition plays a role in what we're doing. And, even more so, like we talked about, our environments, our epigenetic effects, the stress that we're under. I mean, all of those things. It seems... I'm scared that some people will take this at one of these WALL-E approaches to where it's like, okay, I don't have to be healthy. I don't have to take care of myself. I'll just pop in some stem cells one day and regrow that foot I didn't use that much.
Well, yeah, there's still a difference between the motor and the fuel, right? So you can have a great tissue. You can have a great body. You can have a perfect body. You can have a new body, but it's still the fuel that runs that body. So that's your nutrition. That's your air. That's your clean alkaline water. That's your emotions that are still driving that body. So you can fix your shoulder, but if you don't exercise it doesn't mean it's going to be strong, right? So you got the body and you got the fuel. So we still got to put the right fuel in the right body.
Yeah, you see that a lot. I don't want to say a lot, but you see people get the gastric bypass and everything's good, but they don't change their mental state, their environment, their behavior. None of that changes. And for long, they're right back to where they were.
That's right. Yeah. And high risks to that surgery too, especially the second time, high morbidity.
Oh, see, now just, or you could just not eat that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's sometimes, I know it's not that easy. It's definitely harder. I mean, and really those are really symptoms of what they're dealing with. I always call weight issues symptomatic. A lot of times we focus too much on the symptoms. We focus on the depression, the addiction, the weight, when truly these are just symptoms of what we're really dealing with in our lives. And, trying to find that balance place where medical can really help us, but not to where we rely on it, for what we do.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem here. People are not in charge of their own health. They just keep listening and they're just part of the whole, windmill of conventional healthcare. But everybody needs to take responsibility and take control of their own health. And to me, conventional medicine only has one place, and that's the emergency room. If I get in a car accident, please help me. Please keep me alive. But otherwise, I wouldn't ever step into a regular doctor's office. Food is your medicine. Healthy air, some exercise, movement. We all know it, but We're so addicted to our food. I mean, it's never talked about as an addiction. We talk about drugs, we talk about smoking and all those types of things, but we always overlook our food. Loaded with sugars, very addictive, even for a guy like me. It's hard to stay away from the good stuff, right? I mean, the good tasting stuff, not the healthy stuff. But it's a mindset, it's a habit, you know. You need to learn to control, those things. And it's been hard because people confuse hunger with appetite, and people are not feeding anymore, they're feasting, you know. And it's really very confusing to most people. So, and that's what I do most of the time, is I help people not just tell them to take control of their health, but I actually have a plan for them to follow on how to regain control of their health and be in charge of their own health. And you mentioned many of them. My principle is called Clean Living, and it's basically an acronym. C stands for control your emotions and feelings. You know, I tell exactly how to do that and get in charge again of your emotions, because negative emotions such as worry, fear, jealousy, they break you down. They cause a lot of toxicity in your body, right? So ultimately, we all should strive for inner peace. But inner peace only starts the moment you don't allow another situation or a person to affect your feelings or your emotions, which is not easy to do. So that's the C of clean living, control emotions. The L is listen to the warning signs of your body. You got to stay in tune with your body, because we never listen. You know, there's many examples, but maybe one example is, if your body wants rest, you're going to feel tired and fatigued, right? So you should go to sleep, but instead of going to sleep, we still want to watch the last 30 minutes of our favorite show on TV. So we usually always ignore those warning signs of our body. E stands for enough rest, sleep, and sunshine. It speaks for itself. A stands for active lifestyle. And N stands for natural and clean air, water, and food. So I teach on how to incorporate those clean living principles to regain control of your health. And everybody does it at their own pace, but it really works. So
I am a man, and that is one clean cognitive rampage, Mike.
Mm-hmm. it only works for people, though, that are ready, that have their mindset like, I need to do something. And many times it's after a bad event that happened to them, or you know, they had a heart attack, they want to change their life. But, you know, because a habit only changes when there's willingness. A habit is, this is Stephen Covey, right? A habit is, you know, knowledge. You got to know you're not healthy. You got to acknowledge that, the skill to change that. And I can help with both knowledge and skill, but I can't help with the third pillar, which is willingness to change something. And that's where all of people lack, obviously, is the willingness to change their habits.
Yeah, it starts, I think, with what you said first, is the willingness to question ourselves, our own beliefs about ourselves, the world, and others. You know what, as a therapist, when I was one, I'm definitely an ex-therapist, but when I was one, part of it, when I started realizing, I said, look, I think they're just coming to talk. Many people didn't want the willingness to change.
That's right.
Let's just listen to me, bitch. And then when you try to offer things to do, it'd be like, I'm not sure. And I'm like, I can't charge people money for this. Yeah. I can't do this, man. I can't bill insurance, and I'm not even allowed to, I can't even give them advice. You know, one of the ethical lines as a therapist is you can't give advice. So, I mean, I'm standing here. It was difficult. So it's true to be able to step out of that. And, you know, you can't make the willingness. But it's kind of a shame, right, how it's almost like a bomb has to go off metaphorically. Like some shit has to happen before we
go,
yeah. Oh, shit, I could die.
Yeah. Last minute. Yeah, and everybody's always looking for that quick fix, and they just don't exist, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep it for the long term for me, focus on it, you know?
A lot of people get offended when I say this, so maybe some of your listeners too, but I mean, if you look like things like cancer research started with Nixon in 1971, billions of dollars are spent on cancer research, and then they ask me to go walk around, you know, a few miles and raise money and stuff like, not that I don't want to do that, but you need to understand that cancer is not a disease. It's the last symptom. You know, if you do an autopsy on somebody and somebody says, well, he died of cancer. Well, cancer wasn't the cause of death. Cancer was the last symptom, you know. The cause of death is decades and decades of a bad lifestyle. If there's an autopsy and somebody says, oh, he died of a heart attack. Well, the heart attack was the last symptom. It wasn't the cause of death. It's the last symptom. The cause is decades of abusing your body. That's the cause of death. So, you know, when people think they're going to raise more money for cancer research, cancer is a chronic disease. It's something that builds over the years and years of lifetime of toxins building up in your body. So there's not going to be a pill that's suddenly going to reverse 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years of abuse. It's just not going to happen. They can search for that all day long, but the answer always has been here. The answer has been here. A virus, a bacteria or viruses or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. So if you stop all the man-made foods and all the acidic foods and your coffee and your sodas and your meat and your, you know, your pastas and stuff, which is all acidic, and you start to consume more organic, wholesome foods and drink alkaline water and keep your body healthy, it's impossible for a cancer to grow. It's impossible for a virus to take over and a bacteria. Cross my fingers, I've not been six in the 19 years I've been living in the US. You know, you can put me in a room with 20 people with SARS, I'll go right in and sit there with them, because a germ cannot attack you if your immune system is strong. You know, I get the argument all the time, like, oh, the bugs going around in school, there's 7 kids are sick. Well, how many kids are in the class? 16. Oh, so 9 kids are not sick, exposed to the same bug, right? It's because the 7 kids that got sick, their immune system is so low, they're near death. Because germs only attack death, you know? I mean, look at the animals in the wild. I mean, if a deer dies of natural old age, germs will kind of eat it and turn it back to dust in a few days. But germs do not attack a live being or a live animal, because their immune system would prevent it. It's just us humans are so close to death, in such poor health, that we get sick all the time. You know, it's so simple, but there's no cure for cancer. There's no cure for the flu. It's only a healthy immune system will prevent that, you know.
That, my friend, is a heck of a cognitive rampage, man. That is a strong statement, that cancer is just the last symptom.
Yeah, just like anything else. There really are no diseases. Every disease is just a progression of symptoms, you know. I mean, a good example is, you know, when you're in your mid-20s, 30s, yeah, somebody gets acid reflux, right? Heartburn, acid reflux. They go to the doctor, they get the little purple pill, Nexium. Oh, great, I don't feel it anymore. A few years later, they end up with a stomach ulcer. Oh, no problem, we're going to cut out the ulcer. And then a few years later, stomach cancer, and they die. It's a progression of symptoms. During that time, we easily could have stopped this progression of symptoms by simply changing, you know, what they ate, the food combination, because usually when it comes to acid reflux and digestive problems, it's a combination of foods that causes those digestive problems. So, but what we have been doing is just masking the symptoms, but, you know, the disease kept progressing, and one symptom turned into a worse symptom and a worse symptom. But there was never a disease, and we easily could have stopped it in its tracks at any single moment. The doctor, instead of prescribing the Nexium, should have said, hey, what are you eating? Ah, 3 mini burgers at Chili's, maybe that's why you have acid reflux. Stop doing it, because you're going to ruin your stomach, right? It's so simple, it's frustrating, Adam.
Well, I'm going to draw the same correlation to mental health, because when they come for help, it's none of the other things. It's here's the other pill, take this pill, then you'll take that, then that leads to symptoms later. I mean, they give you a pill that, hey, this may make you want to kill yourself. So it's the same mental health treatment. They show up, you treat a symptom. You have a symptom of depression, here, treat the symptom. Oh, you have a symptom of addiction, and guess what they tell them with addiction? You have a disease. So yeah. Then they tell you have a disease, they give you the pill for the disease, and round and round and round you go, next symptom to next symptom. Next thing you know, in 10 years, you're diagnosed bipolar, you're on disability, you're at the house because you think you're half psychotic.
That's right.
And the truth is, the people that really needed the help missed it. And that's what I call hashtag chemical incarceration. That's what they do, is that set up for that. And yeah. I mean, you see it on the medical side, you see it on the fitness side, you see it on the mental health side. I mean, this is what we're seeing, man. And the competence you're dropping here, those rampage you just went on, man, this is real. And in every field, we see that the pill exchange for the magic pill idea of that quick fix, man.
It just doesn't exist, man. It's just a hope it exists, because we're all too lazy to really take care of the real cause of the problem.
Ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We got to come back on a rampage again, Mike. That was good, man. I was flowing with you, my brother. That was fun times, man. And I learned some stuff, too. You'll come back on?
Yeah, anytime, man. Anytime you want me on, I'll be here.
Yeah, I'm not far, man. I'm up in Orlando, man. So if you ever find yourself up from Ormond Beach down there, you can find your way up here, man, or if I'm down there, maybe we'll do a live one together.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, where can everybody find you, Twitter, the whole nine, man?
I got three websites. I got motivationalspeakerpro.com. If anybody, I do a lot of motivational speaking on how to regain control of your health and book signings and stuff. So that website is motivationalspeakerpro.com. I have another website, health4life.info, which has a lot of YouTube videos on health and stuff like that. And then the stem cells is neo matrix medical.com. So that's where you can find me.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. I might have to make my way down there, man. I'm about tired of feeling only a little bit of my thumb and some of my pointing finger, man.
Sounds good, man. We'll be glad to scan it and see what we can do for you.
I'm just afraid you're going to tell me I got to stop hitting the heavy bag for a while, so I don't really want to know.
At least for 5 days, we would say, yeah.
I mean, is that possibly, man? Hey, thanks for sharing the knowledge and stuff, man. I look forward to chatting with you again.
You're welcome, Adam. Thanks a bunch, man, for having me.
Always, man. Take care.
All right, take care. Bye.